Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Flight Training the Way I See It. News and opinion, a lot of opinion, and a lot of news. And this is the April 2024 edition with your host, Mike Shiflett. How you doing? So we're on the podcast. The podcast is generally available everywhere you normally get podcasts. We have a new studio mic, which we're putting out right now, so you should have a little bit better audio quality on your end. And we've started producing more audio. We had to redo, or we're redoing our we made a study called Smart Study Pro, and it was a audio for every technical subject area, or every area actually in the PTS that was to do with the ground side. And I did a 10 or 30 minute, depending on the topic, overview of that subject, including all the elements, and we put together PDFs for companions for that. And so now we had to redo all that because, guess what? First topic, there's a new ACS. New ACSs, actually, and PTSs are coming out, and they're effective really soon. We're going to talk about that on this podcast. About 20, 30 minutes, we should be done here. Also want to talk about the new Pilot's Handbook of Aeronautical Knowledge that should be coming out pretty soon. And then I've got some pro tips for you. So we want to spend a little bit longer on this topic, the first topic, which is the new ACSs and PTSs. They're now released, and they were published into the Federal Register. They are part of FAR 61.14, a new FAR. If you look before, look now, it probably says reserved. But later, it will have all the ACSs and PTSs titles rolled into that FAR. So anyway, they're incorporated now by reference. So they all become effective May 31st, 2004. And they're changed, of course, but a lot is the same, so don't get crazy. I'll go over everything with you here, or not everything, but I'll go through enough where you can get all the stuff so you can and understand it. So you can get this at FAA.gov, or actually a quick Google search, just say FAA ACS, and I think it'll take you right there. So anyway, scroll down, find out what you're looking for, what rating you're pursuing. We're going to concentrate on the flight instructor airplane one, but I'll go through a few changes in the other so that you're not left out, and it'll be pertinent to you. I also have a document which I worked on, which is a change document, but I also included in this, if you belong to our new video newsletter or our newsletter on the website, you get a copy of this newsletter, which I'm basically doing as a podcast, and it's a PDF, and you go to our website, cfibootcamp.com, and you can get opt-in for that newsletter, and we'll send that to you. And then the other thing that's there is the power hour. So we have done 181 power hours. Can you believe that? That's a lot of power hours. So anyway, that's, yeah, so what's a power hour? So now I have to tell you. So it's a one-hour segment we do every Saturday, noon to 1 Eastern time. So 9 o'clock in the morning to 10 Pacific time. We had some people from Hawaii on at 6 o'clock in the morning for them. So there's people in Europe on, so everywhere. Usually between 50 to 100 or so people join up on that every Saturday live show. And we record that, and that becomes part of our membership site. If you didn't see it live, the only way you can see it is on our membership site. But that's not too expensive. So, and there's 181 hours now of content there, which is a plus other things. So anyway, the Power Hour addresses things like how to use a lesson plan and syllabus together. That was a hot topic. And then we went through the 172S model systems yesterday, or the Saturday. This is a Sunday I'm doing this on. So went through that. We have other topics, ForeFlight advanced features, using ForeFlight to teach from as a platform for teaching. We've got deep dives in the maneuvers, all kinds of things. So anyway, that's the Power Hour. You're welcome to join for free. Go to our website. At the very top of the page, you're going to see like a green or a blue bar. And it's you click onto it, and it will get to the opt-in for the Power Hour. Then you get the link. And you also get reminders. You get one during the week. We don't send you a lot of reminders. Then one an hour before the show, and then right as the show is beginning, you get the last one. So you get three per week. And that will keep you motivated to come and be with the other people, aviation. And we usually, when we finish that show, if it's not during a CFI class, I open up the room at the end so you can talk amongst each other. You can ask questions. You can. Last week we had a really good suggestion, by the way. So Walt, one of our regulars, had suggested for the electrical system that, of all things, we download the John Deere manual, GT something or other. I'll find it here in a minute. But it was a service manual. And he says the way they present the electrical system with various colors for various circuits, he says, is really good. And so we're probably going to use some of that in our up-and-coming stuff we're going to write, rewrite, courseware, something like that. But it might be interesting for you to see. So anyway, it's a $20 manual, and I can point you to it here in a little bit. It's on the Power Hour, though. If you go to our website and you look at the Power Hour outline catalog, you should find it there. But anyway, let's dive into this thing. So the changes they were to for our tribe is private instrument commercial or centered around risk management section. They didn't change a lot in the rest of the ACSs for those. They did. They didn't like the way they had written the risk management. So basically they said something like, to this effect, they said phrases like, in a risk management section, fails to perform proper pre-flight. So they didn't like that because they said that was written more like a completion standard and didn't really fit into risk management. No real big deal, but they retitled something like knowledge required to perform a proper pre-flight. That would be a risk management topic. So there's that's interesting. There's an interesting change in the instrument rating ACS. Now, this is a kind of a fun one because I was bent out of shape a little bit, let's say, because they had some things in there before they took out. So one thing they took out was that, remember, it would allow you to substitute an LPV approach for an ILS approach. That got removed. They said so long as the DA is not higher than 300 feet, then you can use it. And that was kind of a big deal because we use that a lot. But now there's no mention of that. However, don't be crazy with me. I got crazy with that. I was like, why is this not? They redefined and actually defined what an instrument approach is, a precision approach is. They defined it. In the appendix of the ACS, the very last page, you can find it. It said it's a published instrument approach procedure that has lateral and vertical guidance with a published DA. So that is an LPV. There's no more 300-foot restriction. It can be higher, it can be lower, it could be whatever. So that's interesting. So they just finally said a precision approach is something with lateral and vertical guidance, and it's got to have a published DA, and it's got to be a published instrument approach procedure. So there you go. That's not bad. That's actually better. So that could really change the testing and efficiency of training in the Phoenix Valley because when we were training there, they only had two ILSs that you could really use. One was at was Mesa Gateway, ILS 30 Center, and there was the ILS to on non-towered airport down in the south of Phoenix Valley called Casa Grande, and it was a non-towered airport. Anyway, that was a big mess down there. So they have these things called stack procedures, and what it means is there's a VOR there called the Stansted VOR. You can Google this too and see what a mess this was. We call it the Hornet's Nest. It was an accident waiting to happen. So what it is you call in about 10 miles before you get the Stansted VOR. Remember, this is a non-towered airport. And then everybody wants to do this approach because there's very few of them, and this one, you know, you can get. So then what happens is you ask for the top of stack on the radio. You call Casa Grande Unicom, or not Unicom, CTAF. And they'll tell you that highest person holding over the Stansted VOR, they'll say top of stack is 7,000. And then you say, okay, you're going to enter stack at 7,500. And then you listen, and everybody goes around 500-foot spacing. And when the one person's ready for the approach, or her turn, then they say final approach inbound. And then as soon as they pass that point, they say final approach passed, and then everybody drops down 500 feet, and it goes on like that. That's crazy. So this should really help out with that. That's really an accident waiting to happen. But anyway, that's that. Now let me go through the flight instructor ACS. I want to go through what I call the significant changes from the PTS version. And there are 14 of these, so I'm just going to mention them. And then you can download the ACS and maybe listen to this again as I'm going through them so you can see where they are and what's going on with them. And then, that should do it. So risk management is included in every task. So that includes the FOI. So risk management was just talked about in the PTS. It was said, hey, the examiner will test risk management. So that was that, right? And there were some things in there in the FOI where risk management was there as a single task. But every now task, including all the ground elements and all the flight elements, have risk management just like the other ACSs. Okay, that's point number one. Point number two is some of the fundamentals of instructing tasks have been retitled, and they differ from the PTS version. The names are different. So I give you some examples, but you can look into the document. There are no huge changes in terms of content. A few extra elements here and there, a more clarity on a few points. But what it did was it makes us have to redo our FOI lesson plans and those audio recordings that we did, because they grouped some things together that weren't grouped together before. So we'll talk a little bit about that here in a second. Okay, number three, certificates of documents in the PTS has now been replaced with pilot qualifications. And now that includes sport pilots and basic meds. So that can be tested now. So that's included in terms of certification of airmen and medicals. So that's been added, sport pilot flight instructor, and basic med. Point number four is weather information now includes an option to test weather theory. That wasn't in there before. It was just weather charts, and a lot of them were very outdated. The GFA, which is the Graphical Forecast for Aviation, is also listed in this section as available to be tested now. So that's interesting. So the GFA, if you don't know, is replaced the area forecast, among some other things. A very good tool, and it's available at aviationweather.gov. And you can look for it there, and you'll find it. It's got slider bars, so you can, like, if you're looking to, if you need to file an alternate at an airport that doesn't have a TAF, which you would have to use the equivalent of the area forecast to get your forecast weather for that, you don't use the nearest TAF, because in Wyoming, the nearest TAFs might be 200 miles away. That wouldn't really work for you. So you want to use the equivalent of the area forecast. And then you can look an hour before, hour after, just by moving slider bars, and you can get either a visual representation of the visibility in clouds, or you can get the forecast there. It's pretty quick to get, so it's a really improvement in that. So don't mind if they're testing that. I think that's a good thing. Number five is navigation and cross-country flight planning tasks now explicitly says that a computer-generated flight plan is an acceptable option. So now we've got that. Hallelujah. Also, the FAA released a AC on the 23rd of last month, of March, and it addressed EFBs were suitable replacements for basically everything paper in the cockpit, everything. So for those DPs out there who are listening, let's get with it, okay? Let's get with it. No more insisting on paper, no. Let's stop that. In fact, one of the arguments I had, well, I wouldn't say it was an argument, was this DP said in the previous ACS for a private or commercial, it said flight plan electronic or paper or electronic, then it said paper electronic. But when it got to the chart supplements, it didn't say either. So they contended, oh, that means you've got to have a paper copy. And I said, no, that's not what that means. I said, you're interpreting this all wrong. I said, what do you mean? You know? And I said, well, if you have a paper copy of either a chart or of this anything, of the chart supplements, you have a copy. You don't have the real version. I have the real version. The real version is an electronic version. It got printed from that version. It didn't get typeset. You know, you don't have the original. I have the original, and I have the most current. So there, put that in your pipe and smoke it. Aha, there you go. I said that. I did. Okay. So now it's explicitly says, so hopefully we're getting away from that. You know, I had cataract surgery about now almost a month ago, and they didn't use ether. They had machines that were running with backup batteries. They weren't spinning around E6B equivalent slide rules, figuring out how much medication or what to do. They weren't doing that. And the surgery came up better than it would have if we would have been back in that day, right? So let's just get on the program here, right? So, okay, enough of that. You know I love that topic. Then number six, the previous weight and balance task has been removed. Weight and balance is now included in performance and limitations. And it only says, in that task, it only says weight and balance. So, that's wrong. So, sorry, it has the weight and balance elements in there, but it's under performance and limitations. So, no real big change, it just doesn't have its own area anymore. Number seven, the principles of flight tests now includes forces acting on an airplane. That wasn't in there before, now that's something new, it's in there. So, number eight, in the pre-flight lesson on a maneuver to be performed in flight, that's Air of Operation 4, the applicant can use It says the applicant can use previously prepared lesson plans from their library. So if you have a library, whether it's a folder, whether it's a paper, a binder, with those old binders that no one ever uses, right, then you can use those, right? You're allowed to use those. So we had one DPE who made everybody present the lesson without using a lesson plan at first. Now, it didn't have to be perfect, but basically it was to measure how much of the stuff you knew off the cuff, right? If you could teach right out the gate, and if you understood the material well enough, that you captured all the key points. Well, now he can't do that because it specifically says that you can use previously lesson plans you have in your folder. There you go. So that's something new, so be sure you bring that out to the ones who argue with you. Number 8, slow flight stalls and spins. Now, this is different. Now we have two new, we got another way to do slow flight. It's not called slow flight, but let me just tell you. The first method, I believe it's task A, is the same as it was, or it is for private commercial, basically not activating a stall warning system. So you fly to speed at which any reduction in throttle or power, they say, any increase in angle of attack or load factor would result in the stall warning system activating. Okay, that's the one we know, right? But there's task B now, and it's called demonstration of flight characteristics at various configurations and airspeed. So this is flying at the lowest possible speed. So this, well, it could be higher than that, but in general, you can fly all the way down to as low as it'll go, and it says that the completion standards were any reduction, that speed with any reduction in throttle or power, any increase of angle of attack, or an increase of load factor would result in an immediate stall. So that's in there. Then it also has something interesting for the recovery, which I thought was interesting. It says after that occurs, after you've flown at the lowest possible speed and done everything the DP wants you to, then you lower the pitch attitude to increase the speed and return to level flight, and then note the new airspeed and the altitude loss. That's interesting. Number 10 is the secondary stall demonstration now has to be to a full stall. So all the other demonstration stalls, which are elevator trim, cross-controlled stall, and secondary stall, accelerated stall, those can be just first indication. The secondary stall has to be to a full stall. All right, number 11, another big one, so we have to adjust our course. We have a reinstatement course that we use for the CFII and for the initial CFI for those people who are coming back from airlines. We call it a captain's course. And here's the rub. So number 11 point, during a renewal or reinstatement, that'd be a reinstatement, the examiner evaluates the period of inactivity and determines whether the testing of the FOI is appropriate. It didn't say that before. So no one really tested the FOI on that, but now the examiner is supposed to look how long it's been since you've not taught in a GA or in kind of environment like this, and then decide how many tasks, if any, from the FOI are appropriate. So now we've got to teach that. So that's something new. So that's another reason not to let your CFI expire. If you do, you got to reinstate only ways by a flight test, and now you've got that hanging in front of you. Okay, number 14 is 14 CFR and publications. Now that task now require testing of infos and SAFOs. So SAFOs are safety of flight for operators, and then infos information for operators, and these are sort of notices that come out. So the info is like for, could be record keeping, could be compliance with something. It's not something that's probably not going to kill you. And then SAFOs are things that might kill you that you would be really interested in knowing, and you want to incorporate maybe into your training program or into certification or compliance. So those now are out. And in our course, we now cover those as part of CFR 14 and publications. We have a segment on that, and we cover those now. And we give examples of those. So you can look online for infos and SAFOs from FAA. Number 13 is endorsements and logbook entries now includes special FARs, SFARs, and Class B endorsements. Now, those Class B endorsements could be, you may not be aware, but there's some for student pilots. You may be aware of those. But there's also Class B, C, and D endorsements for recreational sport pilots as well. So you can give those, and so they're now going to require you to be tested on those. Also, in that same section, a CFI, it wants you to now, the logbook entries now need to include CFI renewal and reinstatement requirements. So, and the last point, that's not too bad. High altitude operations now has, point 14, high altitude operations now has two separate tasks, one for supplemental oxygen and the other for pressurization. So they put more content in those. You can look at those, but I would definitely have a look at those and be sure you're up to speed on all that. Okay, now second topic is the new Pilot's Handbook of Aeronautical Knowledge is scheduled for release in June. So according to our last words with the FAA, A new version of the PHAC, Pilot's Handbook of Aeronautical Knowledge, will be released in June 2024. We don't have confirmation of the day, and they could hold it up if there's any good reason to do that, or if it's not done. Of course, now it's not going to be shorter. You know, the current PHAC is a whopping 522 pages, and it covers aeronautical knowledge from student pilot through ATP and CFI. In my opinion, this is way too dense for a student or private pilot in training. It's like, as an instructor, there isn't a clean way to tell your student to read the aerodynamics section and skip certain paragraphs or pages. Now, you may be able to say, don't read the swept wing part. But if you're talking about forces in a turn, climb, or whatever, it might be a bit much for the for a private pilot or student pilot, but you can't. That's all you got to teach from. So you can say, well, you got to read it, I guess, if you don't understand it, you know. So that doesn't play very well. So I do have some success in being able to do this. So what I really do in order to address that is I have them take an online course, anybody's, Gold Seal, King School, any of them, GLIME, whatever you want to do, Sporties. And then what happens is I have them then, once they finish maybe the aerodynamics section, let's just say that section, then I have them read the PHAC on that, and I say anything that wasn't covered in the online course, you can just skip. And so then as they read it, it's more dynamic. They can say, oh, that's not, was never in that course. Let me just skip that and go on to the things that do play well. And that gets them into the FAA materials, and they understand if the FAA has a disagreement between industry on something, the FAA wins. So always good to use the source materials. So that's what I've done with that. Now, if the new PHAC, which is going to be FAA-H handbook, -8083-25D, 25C is the current model. If it looks anything like the airplane flying handbook or other new handbooks, it's likely to be in single column format. So currently it's two columns, and it's going to be in one, I'm pretty sure. Okay, and so in case you don't know or don't care, the FAA doesn't write the handbooks themselves. They set the content to be written, but they contract the actual writing and images to a company. And that company is usually Jeppesen. If you'll know, if you look at sometimes the PDF, there'll be author on the, and not on the PDF mentioned in the text, but on the electronic version. When you open up an Acrobat Pro, you go to the who developed this, who did, you can see Jeppesen Sanderson mentioned there. So usually, but not always, but there's that. Now let's look at the pro tips so we can close this thing out. Well, I would also want to say that we had a really big class in Las Vegas. We had 16 or so people. It was amazing. So we say it was really big, and the class was really good. There are a lot of military people there, and we never have to worry about them. I mean, usually don't have to worry about them, I'd say. They just go right up to, step up to the plate, right? And they show the other ones how to do it, right? So the ones who don't or don't feel like they need to be as motivated, they soon get the idea that these are really professional aviators, right? So we had a great group of people. We had two girls in the class. We had Keiki, from, who's a Hawaiian, and then we have Danielle. So we had several Air Force people in the house, right? And we did it in a big old classroom, and it was wonderful. And we covered the new ACS topics. We had all that ready to go, so that was really good. So, and also, I wanted to give a personal shout-out to Tyson Pinna. So Tyson's one of my go-to guys. He was in the class in January in Las Vegas, and he's very tall. He's 6'8", I think. And he was in the Air Force, pilot in the Air Force, and now he's going to be directing the entire program at K-State, Kansas State. So he said something that really resonated with me. He said, we're talking about all these other guys going to airline or doing this. He said, no, man, I can't do that. I need conflict in my life. I need conflict. And better believe it, you know, that's me all over the place. So he and I get on really good. So I wanted to shout out to him because he just passed the CFI check ride 2 days ago. So good on you. First time, of course. Of course he did, right? Yeah, he's a good guy. So anyway, I just wanted to say that because I really felt that he, of all people, you know, he's gonna leave a mark. So I'm happy about that. All right, now let's go on to the pro tips. And also, I will just say one more thing about we fly out of Chenault Flying Service, so CFS. It's in North Las Vegas Airport, and so we use the facilities there. We teach under the 141 program there, under their certificate. And then we can do VA benefits. They can do VA benefits there, I should say. I shouldn't mix that up. They can accept the VA benefits there. And they have a lot of airplanes, mostly Diamonds, but they've got a few Cessna Redhawks, which are the diesel versions of those, which are very interesting. And they do a really good job, and we had all the tests arranged. We'll see how everybody does here, but that's a really good place for you to go. They do spin training. They do an extra 300, and they can also do upset training. So good facility, good people. Go there, okay, and sign up for one of our courses if you want to, and we'll take care of you there. Okay, let's look at the pro tips. It's thunderstorm season in Florida in a few weeks. Imagine that. There are two types of really thunderstorms, air mass and frontal types. Air mass ones develop due to heating. They typically, when the swamp boils out here, they start growing up. Don't move a lot, but then they drift with the wind. And so depending on where the wind's going, that's where the thunderstorm goes. And they can be enormous, big old things. The other type we have are frontal types that are caused by cold air from a cold front. So the cold front usually for us comes from the north, northwest, and streams across the state. And then it burrows up under all that warm, moist air and throws it up. And, of course, when that air goes up, it's going to condense. And if it's a big, fast-moving cold front, it'll throw it up there really high, and the atmosphere is unstable, and then it will cause thunderstorms and sometimes big old squall lines. So give these thunderstorms pretty wide berth. 20 miles is reasonable distance, but if possible, fly on the side of the thunderstorm that doesn't have the anvil. I don't know if you know, but that anvil tips with the wind, and that's where the hail comes out. So even if you're far away, kind of farish away, 10 miles or more from the anvil, you could get hail in clear air. So you see a big old hail balls flying out at you. So fly on the upwind side of that, the other side. Okay, that's tip number one. Okay, number two, if you fly with a cast ring nose wheel, like a Cirrus, a Diamond, DA-20 or 40, a Grumman Tiger, or Cheetah, chalking the nose wheel to keep the airplane from moving, just only the nose wheel isn't going to work very well if there's any kind of wind. The nose wheel can pivot on its own due to the wind and can kick out the chalk in front as it pivots. So that doesn't work too well. So chalk the main wheels on both sides because those don't caster, and then tie down the wings and tail. That will keep your one of those castering nose wheel items from moving, okay? All right, now the third and last tip of the day. This is a study tip for you, and then we'll close out. So after completing an official CFI class of some kind, you'll probably want to do some self-study. That's usually what people want to do, which is a good idea. So do this is what I'm going to tell you, so don't waste time or keep memory items in your head too long. You'll just need to restudy things. So study things you know first, like aeromedical, principles of flight, airspace, those kind of things. Study those things first, because those things you're refreshing. It's not new to you. You go like, okay, I think I have this. And then you don't need to really revisit it immediately. But if you study like the FOI or endorsements or things that are CFI-centric first, and then last things you're going to study, aeromedical principles of flight, then what happens is you got to go back and restudy the FOI again because it's been too long. That's very perishable information, right? So you want to study those, the FOI and the endorsement scenarios, all that sort of last. A couple weeks for your test would be a good point. But, of course, you would have already been exposed to that in a proper CFI class. So you have, because you can't really learn how to teach very well without the core knowledge of the fundamentals instructing, which is what we would do in our CFI class. But in terms of putting the polish on it and the finish on it, well, you can do that, but do it last. Okay, this way you won't have to keep all these new things in your head for as long, and it will really reduce the amount of time you study. All right, well, that's that. We've got some classes coming up. We have a May 6th class. It's in Opa-locka. There's barely enough time to get into that. It's about a week away. You'd have to do a lot of work to get into that, but you could. After that, we have a class in June. It's in Palo Alto, and it's also remote. All the classes can either be remote or in Palo Alto or any with the facility. Then we have a class in July. That's the next class in Las Vegas, and that it'll be hot, but there you go. We start early in the morning for you. You'll be flying really early, so there you go. If you want to get done before the ACS changes, or the ACS gets implemented, well, then May is your only opportunity to do that. June will already be passed, so... one last word on that. First, let me finish the rest of the classes. So we do have double I classes starting on the Tuesday after the class ends, the CFI class. So the class will end on a Sunday, Monday through Sunday, and there's a day break and then a 3-day CF double I class. Those still have good availability. So The others get filled up pretty quickly. I think Palo Alto, we have 6 or 7, and we can hold 10. So in Las Vegas, we can hold 20. And in Miami, we can hold about 10 to 12, somewhere around that. So they're filling up a little more quickly now. Okay, so then what was I going to say? So back to the so that's about classes. So I guess I don't remember what I was going to say, but that's okay. Wasn't super important. I guess it was important. Yeah. See, now to remember, it's important, right? So you can currently, people think that the ACS can't be used, or the new PTSs can't be used today before the effective date, but they can. There's an FAA order that addresses that and says that as long as the DP and you agree, you can use the ACS today. You don't have to wait to the effective date. But after the effective date, you cannot use the PTS or the previous ACSs anymore. It's got to be the new stuff. All right, just so you know. So there is an order out there that addresses that. And I would ask your DPE, because I don't think most of them have a plan of action that's quite ready for that yet. So you're most likely to be subject to the old test. And most of them are lazy anyway. Don't want to do it all until you're not lazy. I wouldn't say lazy. Most of them just go home and, you know, sip the cognac and smoke the cigar and don't really think about this too long, unless they fly for work or something. Some people, like David St. George, he flies charter, so he's always thinking about stuff. He's heavily involved in flight training. Take a test with him. He's a good guy, David St. George, up in New York. So anyway, and also join SAFE, Society of Aviation and Flight Educators. It'll save you 1/3 off your 4-flight, and you'll be connected with industry and mentoring, and I like to say coaching. I really don't like this word mentor. I don't really want to be mentored, kind of, but I don't mind being coached, okay? All right, well, that's all I've got to say for you. So we'll catch up again next month, and I'll have some news. The ACSs will be just about ready to hit the street. We'll see what, maybe we'll interview a few of our DPEs and find out what they intend to do about it, what they're going to do about it, how the test is going to be different. That's a good topic for the show, so we'll probably do that. And that's it. We're going to close it out here. I am doing this on Sunday, the 28th of April. We're coming up into May. Can you believe it? Wow. Okay, that's it. And we'll have the next one around the same time in May, near the effective date, not quite the effective date of the ACSs and PTSs. Okay, that's it for another episode of Flight Training the Way I See It.